First time up here today. A wee bit nervous. I think Mark said the other week that he was nervous or terrified when he first spoke from the front. So I was working on a few strategies to deal with that. I was thinking if I faced this way, then I wouldn't be able to see you all. But seriously, it's really good to be doing this. It has taken a bit of a while to get here, and I'll share a bit more about that a bit later on. But essentially, the title is on the screen there, Who Wants to Be a Spiritual Millionaire? And hopefully that will work through in the next sort of 20 minutes, half an hour or so. I'm going to start off just telling you a little bit about me, testimony. So a bit of my backstory and how I actually got to the point of standing here today, okay? And then I want to sort of talk a bit more about struggles and challenges and see what you guys take from what I've got to share, okay? So I became a Christian at university probably about 36 years ago or so, something like that. And I didn't particularly go to church while I was at uni, just because I was up in London at university. Family and friends were all down here, so I kept drifting back and forth between Portsmouth and London. So I didn't particularly go to church at first. And then I went and worked overseas for about 5 or 6 years. So I worked on oil rigs in many Arab countries. So again, not too much opportunity to go to church there, but God worked through that time in me and gave me lots of opportunities to read the Bible. You know, when you're stuck on an oil rig for 3 months, I'm quite an avid reader, so that was a really good time for me to be able to read the Bible, okay? And then life kind of changed, probably about 92-ish, and I kind of met Karina, and 31 years later, she's still putting up with me. We got married in 94, and we ended up joining the Beacon about a year later. And it was just as this place was getting built, actually. So I spent many a long week running around with wheelbarrows and tins of paint and stuff like that. And been here ever since. So, I've known a lot of you quite a number of years. And through that time, there's been lots of good stuff and some not so good stuff as well. Okay, and that's where I'm kind of going with the spiritual millionaire bit. But, you know, in terms of good things, I've just sort of mentioned Karina and 31 years. So that's probably top of the list. And if you have been around our house, you'll notice that our house is called Anamkara. Okay. And that's actually Celtic for soul friend. And that's just sort of typifies what I feel about Karina and the relationship we have and stuff like that. So that's sort of like one, you know, huge blessing from God over that time. Okay. Sorry, apologies. I've got a sinus infection, so I might sound like I'm in a swimming pool or something, but hopefully you can all hear me. And then friends. And, you know, I've known some of you guys for some considerable time. But I think there's two things I want to pick out about the friends that I've made. There's a group of guys that I hang around with. And we're called the Cowboys. And that's because we used to meet in a pub on a Monday night for a beer. And the pub was called the Spotted Cow. Okay, so there's a bunch of guys and extended guys who come along and, you know, every now and again. But those friendships have been really important over the years. And, you know, I know that I could turn to those guys and they would like, help me out, you know, in whatever way was needed, practical, physical, spiritual, etc., etc. Okay? And for Karina, she's got a little group that they call, I think she calls them My Girlies or something like that. And that was born out of something that happened in this church as well a number of years ago. And I don't know if it was Wendy's idea, but it came out of the leadership. And they encouraged the women to get together in groups of three or four and, you know, just to sort of pray for each other, support each other, and that sort of thing. And, you know, Karina's in a group still with a number of the ladies in this church, and it's absolutely brilliant to see how their friendships develop and they support each other in whatever way is needed. So that's, you know, that's really a blessing as well to both of us that we have some great friendships. Okay, family as well. You know, we've got a great extended family, lots of nieces and nephews and stuff like that. And then other good things for us personally, you know, we've got a nice house, jobs are great, etc., etc. So, you know, God has been good over that time. But there have been some challenges, and, you know, we've suffered bereavements within the family. You know, that's been really tough over the years. We've had some other losses and disappointments. I'm not going to dwell on those. Some of you know what they are. It's not the purpose for today's talk for me to talk about that, and I get quite upset. So, but, you know, there have been things that have been tough. And again, it will kind of reflect in some of what I'm going to say shortly. Okay? So that's kind of a little bit of backstory, where I'm coming from and, you know, some of the good and bad. But why am I standing here today? Okay. So, as I've said, I've got lots of friends within the church, and you guys have supported me in lots of different ways, you know, whether it be prayer or practical help or whatever. But there are some of you that I just want to honour today, particularly because you've got me up here. Okay. And there's quite a few, actually. It's, you know, Karina and her mum have, I think, encouraged me for years and said that they knew at some point I would be talking, preaching, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so they've been a really big part of it. And when I said to Karina about 2 months ago that I was going to be doing this, she was so laid back about it. It was really quite funny. She was just like, "Oh right, yeah, okay." And I'm thinking, but she took it all on board, and that was really good. And then, you know, obviously the leaders within the church have supported me to allow me to do this today as well, and that's really brilliant. But there's a few other people as well that, and they may not know the impact that they had in sort of me being here today. About 17 years ago-ish, JB wrote a prophecy, or he had a word from God, and he wrote it down for me. He physically typed it out and gave it to me, and it was about me being able to teach, lead, preach, whatever you want to call it. Okay, and I've still got that at home that references why I'm here today. Okay, so that goes back a long time, and it's taken me a long time to get here. Back then, I was a trainer, so I was used to standing at the front and just, you know, I could have talked to any audience about any subject, ba-bump, because that was what I did for a job. My job's changed now, and I haven't done that for 15 or so years. So if I'd stood at the front 15, 16 years ago, I would have been doing it under my own strength, okay? It's now God, okay? Bit of a sinus thing. And then about 2 years ago-ish, we started the Sunday evening. Was it prayer, pause, praise and presence? And on that very first session, I vividly remember, even to this day, it was Chris, it was Sylvia, and it was Gillian. And they were praying for me that night about how God was going to start working within me, and etc., etc. And even this morning, Sylvia was saying the same thing. So there's people that have been bringing me slowly into this place of being able to stand up here and talk to you guys. Okay? So that's sort of kind of how I've got here. And I know for Chris, it's probably been a bit of fun because he's been asking me fairly regularly for the last 2 years when I was going to get around to doing it. And I think for me, the fact I don't actually feel overly nervous, actually. And because I was thinking, oh no, it's going to be really bad, I'm going to be really scared. But it's not. So again, I know that's all God's timing and so on. Okay? So, on to the second bit then. Why have I titled this, Who Wants to Be a Spiritual Millionaire? Hopefully a few of you have seen the TV program, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Yep. Quiz game, good. There's quite a few nods, which is good. I was a bit concerned that everyone would go, no, never heard of that. And I'd be like, oh, no. So in that program, you know, you have to answer questions. And if you don't know the question, you can use a lifeline. Okay? And that's where I'm going today. Okay? There are three lifelines that, or there's three main lifelines that they use in the original program. Phone a friend, ask the audience, and 50-50. Okay? And I'm just going to use those as examples for how I've had help and support with challenges over the years. Okay? So, you guys will know a lot of this. So I'm not, you know, I'm not teaching you something new, but it's encouragement. It's like, hey, God can help you out in these circumstances, or friends can help you out in these circumstances. Okay. So go with me on this, and hopefully this will work. So, first one I chose is ask the audience. And that's you guys, okay? I'm part of a church family, okay? And those people are there for me, okay? They love me, they support me, they want the best for me, and they're there when I need them, okay? And I've talked about a couple of examples of that already. You know, the group of guys that I hang around with. Not all of them are actually part of this church right at this moment, but they're still friends that go to other churches, and we still meet up, and they're there to support me. And the same with you guys. I know I could phone people, or I could text people, WhatsApp people, and say, hey guys, I'm struggling, can you help me out with this? You know, another example is, I was halfway up a mountain last year with Simon in the Pyrenees, and we just got chatting, and he was like, how's life going? You know, so there we were, you know, trundling up some mountain, and we were able to talk about stuff that was quite important to me at the time. And, you know, so I mean, we were literally praying halfway up a mountain as we were walking along a path. Didn't fall off, fortunately. So, good. So, yeah, so this is about you guys. And, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, hey, I'm really struggling in a particular area, there will be somebody here who is prepared to help and support you and stand by you, pray with you, do whatever. It might be something practical to help you. And that's, for me, that's my ask the audience bit. Okay? And there's just a couple of Bible verses there to back that up. Okay? So there's one from Proverbs there about a friend loving you at all times. So, you know, you might have really annoyed somebody, but hey, they're going to be there for you. And the verse from John there about laying down his life for his friends. This isn't necessarily about somebody, you know, jumping in front of a car for you. You know, it's somebody who's preparing to put themselves out to help you. You know, they're going to go the extra mile. They're going to do something maybe you didn't expect. Okay? And, you know, another person who I really love in this place, because he does it really consistently, Tony, when I'm at the back doing the studio, and again, you might not know or think about this, but it really impacts me. Quite often when we've been at the back doing the steward duty, Karina and I, and we might have the communion, or we might be going into a session of praying for people. And over the years, on a number of occasions, Tony's come over, because he knows like, I'm at the back doing the steward bit, sort of just aimlessly looking around, and Tony will come over and he'll pray or something like that. It's really good, really lovely stuff. Okay, so that's the ask the audience. That's the first lifeline that you've got. Okay. The second one is phone a friend. Okay. And as Christians, what friend have we got? We have God, Jesus, Holy Spirit to ask if we're struggling in any aspect of our lives. Okay, and there's some, you know, things there that probably most of you do on a fairly regular basis. But hey, if you've got out of the habit of doing some of them, or you've never tried, give it a go. Okay, you could listen to Christian music. I do that a lot in the car. You could read the Bible. I don't do that in the car. Or you could listen to it, though, couldn't you, on a thingy? So you can have a quiet time. Okay, just, you know, get away, find a quiet part of the house or wherever. I do that quite a lot in my lunch break at work. I'll just mooch off and find somewhere quiet. It might just be sitting in the car on a country lane or going for a walk or something like that. But get that time. And then also praying as well is key to some of that. Okay. So that's your second lifeline. We know as Christians we have somebody that we can go to that can help us in our circumstances. And I've got a bunch of verses for that as well. And of course, it's not limited to this. These are just some of the ones that spoke to me when I was preparing this. So the first one there, Matthew, is about, you know, going and find that quiet space, that little bit of time away from the world where you could just say, hey God, this is hassling me, what you're going to do? Okay. And then the second one about reading the Bible. Okay, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Okay, you could get so much guidance, instruction, help, encouragement, whatever you want from the Bible. Okay. Psalm 46, I love that one. God is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in times of trouble. Okay, you can't really add anything else to that, can you? It just kind of says it all. And then Psalm 23, I haven't written all of that out because I ran out of space on the page. But I think most people know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, etc., etc. Okay? So that's your second lifeline, phoning a friend. I had great difficulty deciding whether to go audience or friend. So which way round did I use those? But there we go. And then 50-50. I've used that lifeline because, again, it's part of the television program, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? But what spoke to me about that 50-50 is we have choices, okay? And God allows us to make those choices. Not always necessarily going to be the right choices, okay? But at that point in time, if you've watched the program, was it Chris Tarrant or Jeremy Clarkson says, take away the two wrong answers? Well, my 50-50 doesn't necessarily take away the two wrong answers, okay? But it gives me the opportunity to say to God, what should I do in this particular circumstance? How should I deal with it? How should I respond? How should I act, etc.? And then key to that is listening for the response as well. So with that 50-50, sometimes I make the wrong choice, okay? Don't always get it right, Karina will allude to that, no doubt. No, joking. But we're forgiven. And that's really critical for me on that 50-50 as well. I haven't necessarily made the right choice, but I can go back to God and say, oops, and I know that I'm forgiven. Okay? But sometimes I do make the right choice. It might have taken me 17 years to get here, but... Okay, so that's my third lifeline, being able to make a choice in the difficult times in life. And some Bible verses to support that as well. The first one really struck me, John 10:27, because that is actually on some of the posters around this room. Okay, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So I can go to God and say, what choice do I make in this situation? And there's a number of other ones there. I love Proverbs. There's some really good ones in there. Okay. Like that Proverbs 16, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes the steps. Okay, so I might have some of my own ideas, but God has got that path out in front of me. Okay? So, in summary, I put three bullet points up at the start. One was testimony, one was about the challenges, and one was about staying the course. And for me, what do I get from being able to use those three lifelines? I get the ability to continue to grow. Okay, God is continuing to work in me and do things with me. It's helped me to stay the course because, as I mentioned earlier, we've had some tough hits in our life, but we haven't lost God in all of that. We might have struggled with why, but that foundation is there, and you know, both for Karina and I, we're still running the race. Okay, with those lifelines. I know that I'm loved and supported by you guys in this room. And I know that I can ask for help. Okay? So, for you guys, as I said, it's a word of encouragement. Most of you probably know this stuff. You know you can ask God. You know you can get help from other people in the room. So I'm just kind of reinforcing that and encouraging you to, you know, to ask for it if you need it, or to go and find that quiet space and read the Bible for an hour or something like that. Okay? So if you're challenged, remember those three lifelines. Ask your audience. Okay? Who are the people you feel comfortable reaching out to? Phone your friend. Okay? Get that quiet time in. Read your Bible. Pray. Okay? 50-50, go for it, you know, make a choice, you know, with, if you've done some of those ones previous, if you've asked for help and you've, you know, asked God about it, then, you know, odds are you'll make the better choice. Okay. And that's why I called this Who Wants to Be a Spiritual Millionaire? Because the spiritual bit is about being able to walk through those challenging times with that support. Okay? Brilliant. And then what I was going to ask is, I've just got one final slide, because this is something that stuck with me through my whole Christian walk. There's a poem that someone gave to me on a poster or a picture frame or something years and years ago. And it was called Footprints. And, you know, you may have, again, you may have heard of it, you may have read it, you may have a picture of it yourself. But for me, it epitomised what I've just been talking about in terms of those lifelines. Because that poem talks about, you know, a man had a dream and he was looking back at the footprints in the sand. And he notices that at times there's only one set of footprints. And for me, that really is that last line that I've highlighted in white rather than blue. You know, I was struggling or whatever. There was only one set of footprints. That was when I was being carried by God. I can read it. Yeah, go for it. Right. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along a beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at those footprints. He noticed many times along the path there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that that happened at the very lowest or saddest times of his life. That really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, that was when I carried you.